Enough to open up your Bibles today. We are going to be in the Old Testament today, and we are going to be in the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. We are not in the middle. We are starting a brand new sermon series. Kind of feels good to say that because we've been in our last one for quite a few weeks. And I don't know if you can see it online or even where you're sitting, but the brand new sermon series that we're going to talk about is actually called Breaking the Chains. Breaking the chains. And today we're going to talk about breaking the chains of fear in our life. How many of you think there's a lot of fear out there in the world today? There is definitely a lot of fear. And the truth be told, your pastor isn't immune to it either. From time to time, it nips at my heels too and nips at my mind and my heart. So really, I think this sermon series is more like a self-help. It's your pastor looking into the Word of God and saying, how can I overcome this? How can I be stronger at this? How can I break the chains in my life in this particular area? And so I hope as we learn together, as we look into the Word of God and we find out what God's Word says about all these different things, let's hope that we can all let God break the chains in our lives that are holding us back from being everything that God has called us to be. So everybody ready to break some chains? Or should I say, let God break some chains that are in our life, because He's the only one who can do it. And so today we are going to talk about breaking the chain of fear, breaking the chain of fear. The word fear is actually used more than 500 times in our Bibles. That's a lot. In fact, there are probably at least that number of things, if we could make a list today of things that we could possibly be afraid of, it probably wouldn't be hard at all to come up with that same number, come up with 500 or more things that could cause us fear under the right circumstances. Did you know that Christians are never told to be afraid of anything? Throughout the whole Bible, we are never told to be afraid of anything. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Wait a minute, Pastor. We are supposed to fear one. The Bible says we're supposed to fear God, right? But keep in mind, the kind of fear that we talk about when it says to fear God isn't like we're supposed to be terrified of Him, but it's more talking about a holy reverence and a respect and an awe, all right? To realize that God is high and lifted up and all-powerful and amazing in every way. So we're supposed to give Him reverence. We're not supposed to be terrified of Him, right? He wants us to come to Him and find the peace and the deliverance in a relationship with Him. But we are told to fear God. But we're never told to be afraid of anything that comes into our lives. In fact, more than 100 times, the Bible uses a very familiar two-word expression. And you know what it is, don't you? It says, fear not. Fear not. Over 100 times in our Bible, we see that two-word conjunction, fear not. We're going to find out today that faith is the answer to overcome our fears. Faith. If we have faith, if you have faith today, then there is no reason to be afraid. Here's a quote from Mark Twain, and here's what it says. I'm an old man and have known a great many troubles, but most of them never happened. Kind of comical, isn't it? What's he trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us that a lot of the things that we're afraid of and a lot of things that hold us back never even come to pass. Isn't that the way the enemy works in our life? He wants us to stew and to wake up in the middle of the night and to be afraid of all sorts of things. And most of them aren't even going to happen. And the ones that do happen, guess who we've got with us? We've got God with us. And God is going to protect us. God is going to provide. God is going to deliver. God is big enough to handle anything that comes against any one of us in our lives. And so we don't have to be afraid. The truth is, fear can hold us back. Fear can keep us down. Fear can make us quit or want to quit. And fear can keep us from victory. Today, we're going to look at some passages in Isaiah, and we are going to find out that faith overcomes fear. Faith overcomes fear. Before we look at the verses today, let me get started. And the first point on your outline is remember we are never alone. Remember that we are never alone. Let me read one verse before we move forward, and this is a verse that we all know well. It's found in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40, just verse 31. Let me share this before we share the rest of the text from our sermon today. But here's what it says. It says, "But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Isn't that a beautiful passage? If we had time today to really dig into the book of Isaiah and kind of see the way this book was put together, a lot of people think that it actually mirrors the Bible itself. First of all, the ways that it mirrors the Bible itself is that there are 66 chapters. We know in our Bibles there's 66 books. The first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah talk an awfully lot about judgment and captivity and punishment. All right? Similar, you might say, to, let's just say, the Old Testament has a lot stronger words in it than the New Testament. Not always. There's exceptions, just like there's exceptions in the book of Isaiah. But you can almost picture the first 39 chapters of Isaiah kind of like our Old Testament. All right? Some of the struggles, some of the judgments, some of the captivities. The second half of the book of Isaiah, the last 27 books, is more of a picture of our New Testament. And the message there would be hope and restoration. All right? Joy, peace. All right? And so the book is actually broken up into two clear parts. The first half is more a message of judgment, punishment, and captivity. The second half is the hope and the restoration. The Hebrews were going through extreme difficult times while Isaiah was a prophet. Keep in mind, the book of Isaiah, of course, was written by the prophet Isaiah, one of the greatest prophets that ever walked on the earth. A prophet was basically a spokesman for God, somebody that would be so close in their relationship with God that God could speak through them, and they in turn could speak to the people on his behalf. We've all heard the term, "thus saith the Lord," right? That would be what the prophet would proclaim to God's people. And so the Hebrew people were going through extremely difficult times while Isaiah was a prophet. And then you got to Isaiah chapter 40. Remember I said in chapter 40, things change. Instead of being more a strong message of punishment and captivity, when you get to Isaiah chapter 40, you know what Isaiah tells the people? He says, "I don't just have bad news for you, but I've got some good news to share with you." And I'll tell you what, when you're going through a struggle, when you're going through a hard time, when you don't know how you're going to make ends meet moving forward, how many of you need a little good news on occasion? Well, Isaiah knew that too, and not just Isaiah, but the one who gave Isaiah the message to share with the people knew that as well. And that's why we have Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 that we just looked at, all right? And it reveals the source of our strength, our hope, and our faith. Let me read it one more time just in case you missed it. "But those that wait upon the Lord," right? Notice the key there, "those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." The source of our strength, our hope, and our faith is all in the Lord. The key ingredient, if you're going to overcome fear in your life, or by the way, you're going to break the chains of anything that's holding you back in your life, it starts with faith. The promise is for those of us that wait upon the Lord. Now, what does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Literally, the Hebrew word there means that we, as we spend time with God, we literally bind ourselves together with this kind of relationship with God. Literally, think of it this way. God's strength, as we spend time with him, is literally infused into our lives. So as I spend time with God, and as we all spend time with God, as we read his word, as we seek his face in prayer, literally we become stronger. And the truth is, our faith even grows. And so the promises that we're going to talk about today are all based on those that have a relationship with God and those that spend time with God. If we don't have a relationship with God, guess what? We got a lot to be afraid of, because we don't have the help. We don't have the strength. We don't have the victory that we can have in Jesus. But if we've got this kind of relationship with God, we don't have to be afraid of anything. So faith truly will overcome all fear. Well, let's get to the first passage that we're going to look at. It's just one verse. It's found in the very following chapter, Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Let me go ahead and read verses, how about 9 and 10? We'll make it two verses. Here's what it says. I took you, this is the Lord speaking, I took you from the ends of the earth. From its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. Now look at verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's good news, church, isn't it? Let's go to God in prayer one more time. Dear Father, we do thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for the verses that we've been able to look at so far. We pray, Lord, that as we dig into your word together, that we would realize that if we have faith in you, if we have a relationship with you, then we don't have to be afraid. Instead, we can draw close to you and we can find all the answers that we are searching for. We pray, Lord, that you would give us a peace that passes understanding, and you would help us not to be afraid as we draw close to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at this verse, the first thing that we see in bold print, the Lord reminds us of something. And you know what he reminds us of? He reminds us that he is with us. Right? Isn't that what it says? He says, I am with you. There's no reason to be afraid, because God is with us. God is reminding his people not only that he is with us, but this feels good. He reminds them, not only am I with you, but I'm the one who chose you in the first place. I didn't reject you. I called you out of darkness and into my marvelous light. So he says, out of all the people in the world, out of all the nations in the world, I chose you. Feels good to be chosen, doesn't it? By the way, if you're a Christian today, he chose you as well. So we're chosen by him, and he is with us. You remember the promise that Joshua had. Moses was dead, and Joshua was called to take over, to be the new leader for the Israelite people, right? They were about ready to go into the promised land and conquer it. Now, how would have you liked to have been Joshua? Oh boy, this weight of responsibility, you know. Moses, the great man Moses, is home with the Lord, and now I've got to take the reins. If you were a regular person, you probably would have been very much afraid, even though Joshua spent plenty of time with the Lord. But here's what God says to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 9. God says to him, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified and do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You know why Joshua didn't need to be afraid? You know why we don't need to be afraid, church? It's because God is with us. We don't have a thing to be afraid of. Yes, it was a big challenge. Yes, it was a mountain of responsibility, but there was no reason for Joshua to be afraid, because God was with him. God was with him. The same promise we have in the New Testament. In Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, we have what we refer to as the Great Commission, right? Where God instructs us to go into the world, to spread the good news, to teach people the word of God, to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. But in verse 20 of Matthew 28, we've got a promise that I cling to all the time, and you should as well. And you know what it is? The promise that we can cling to surely I, Jesus speaking, surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. You know why we don't have to be afraid? Because Jesus is with us. God is with us. He didn't leave us. He didn't forsake us. He's right here by our side. If our faith is strong and we know God is with us, then once again, church, we don't have to be afraid. By the way, by the end of the message, I'm just going to be able to go like this, and you're going to respond, we don't have to be afraid. Amen? Because we're going to know we don't have to be afraid. It wasn't very long ago that some of the grandkids were spending the night at Gammy and Bapa's house, and they had these balloons they actually had a little light inside them. And so they were just so excited about, when it gets dark, we're going to go outside, we got these balloons, and we're going to bat them up into the air, and we're going to just have a great time with these balloons. Well, it got to be dark, and they went outside, and they were out there for about 1 minute, and they came back in. And I'm thinking, was there something wrong with the balloons? No. Wasn't anything wrong. You know what was wrong? It was dark outside. Now, don't tell them I'm telling you, okay? Because they wouldn't want to admit that. Although when I was little, I was certainly afraid of the dark as well. But they were a little nervous out there by themselves. So you know what? Bapa and Gammy and their mother went out there with them, and we batted those balloons up in the air for 20 minutes. We had a great time. What made the difference? The difference was they weren't by themselves, right? They had somebody with them that knew would protect them. You know what, church? As a Christian, we're not by ourselves. It doesn't matter what we face. I know we face a lot more terrifying things than just the dark in this world. But if God is with us, do we really have to be afraid? Certainly not. The peace of his presence, look at letter B, the promise of his comfort. The promise of his comfort. There's a verse back in verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 41. It says, so do not fear, I am with you. We talked about that. Now look at the next line. It says, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Do not be dismayed. The word dismayed in the Hebrew language has a lot to do with seeing and looking. So in other words, it's what we see with our eyes sometimes can cause us to be afraid. And we can think of lots of examples to look around in terror. But you know what? Sometimes when we look around with our eyes, we see the thing that we're afraid of. But you know who we take our eyes off of when we're looking at the obstacle or the problem or the struggle? When we focus on the obstacle, right, we've taken our eyes and our focus off of who? We've taken our focus off of God. And you know, it tends, whatever we focus on, you know what happens to it? It grows bigger. And so if I spend all my time thinking about all the problems and all the obstacles and all the struggles, guess what? Man, I'm going to be discouraged. Chances are I'm going to be afraid. By the way, just as a side note here, because you know the news media are my favorite people in the whole world, what do the news media focus on? I mean, if there's four things that are bad and four things that are good out there, what do you think they're going to be talking about? The bad. The bad, the bad, the bad. And you might hear one word about something good. That's the way the news media works. They love crises. Because if there's a crisis, everybody turns on the television and says, I got to hear what's going on. I got to hear the story. It's good for people watching. But you know what? It's not good for our hearts. It's not good for our minds. It's not good for our faith. And you know what it leads to? It leads to the exact thing we're talking about today. It leads to people being afraid and fearful. We've got so much of that in our world. You say, well, what's the problem? We've taken our focus off of God, and we've put our focus on all the struggles and the difficulties, and that's what it leads to. That's what it leads to. Think about Peter with me for a minute. He was fine out there on the Sea of Galilee, even during the storm, when Jesus said, okay, Peter, get out of the boat and start walking towards me. But you all know the story, don't you? What happened? Peter was okay while he was looking at Jesus, right? But once he took his focus off of Jesus and says, man, these waves are really big and the wind's blowing. What in the world am I doing outside of the boat? He took his eyes off of Jesus, and what happened? The shortest prayer in Scripture, right? Save me, all right? He was going under because he took his eyes off of the Lord. We need to get our hearts back on the Lord. Cling to God's promises. Remember, we're not alone. We're never alone. If you're a child of God today, you are never alone. Let me read a couple of verses from Psalm 139. Just a great passage. We're going to eventually get to some of this one. But in Psalm 139, beginning in verse 8, let me read a few verses for you about the fact that we are never alone. The psalmist says, "If I go up to the heavens," speaking of God, "you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, and if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." You know what David realized? David realized that he could not leave the presence of God. Wherever he went, God was with him. You know what, church? Sometimes we need to remember that. That wherever we go, God is with us. We're never alone. I've got a little story that I found, and it's from the title is Animal Stories and Principles, Inspirational Stories. But it's kind of funny, but it's got a lot of meaning to it, so let me share it with you. One day on the plains of Africa, a young buffalo named Walter approached his dad and asked him if there was anything that he should be afraid of. "Only lions," his son responded. "Oh, yes, I've heard that lions are very scary. If I see one, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to run just as fast as I can." "No, that's the worst thing you can do," said the large male. "Why?" "They're scary and they're going to try and kill me." The dad smiled and explained, "Walter, if you run away, the lion will chase you and catch you. And when they catch you, he will jump on your unprotected back and bring you down." "So what should I do?" asked Walter. "If you see a lion, stand your ground and show him that you're not afraid. If he doesn't move away, show him your sharp horns and stomp the ground with your hoofs. If that doesn't work, move slowly towards him. And if that doesn't work, charge him and hit him with everything you've got." The son said, "That's crazy. I'll be too scared to do that. What if he attacks me back?" said the startled young buffalo. His dad said, "Walter, look around you. Look around you and tell me what you see." Walter looked around at the rest of the herd. There were about 200 massive beasts, all armed with sharp horns and huge shoulders. "If ever you're afraid, know that we are here. If you panic and run from your fears, we can't save you. But if you charge towards them, we'll be right behind you." The young buffalo breathed deeply and nodded. "Thanks, Dad. I think I understand." The truth is, we all have lions in our world today. There are aspects of life that scare us and make us want to run. But if we do, they will chase us down and take over our lives. Our thoughts will become dominated by the things that we are afraid of, and our actions will become timid and cautious, not allowing us to reach the full potential that God has for us. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." So face your fears, show them that you're not afraid, and run towards them with courage and boldness, knowing that God has our back and is cheering us on. It's a little comical story, but it's so true. So many times we let those lions lead us astray, and we run instead of standing firm in our faith and trusting God to see us through. Church, we don't have to run. We can stand firm in our faith because, once again, you guys are dozing off on me already, aren't you? We don't have to be afraid. Why? Because God is with us. Amen? All right. Remember, we are never alone. Look at number two. Rely on the strength that he provides. Rely on the strength that he provides. We are carried in his loving arms. Carried in his loving arms. Look at what he says at the end of verse 10. It says, "I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The Lord promises his people the strength that we need. The strength that God provides is always available. Literally, we know as Christians that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Literally, we have the power and the presence of God living right inside of us if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And when it says that I will help you, there's a special tense that that phrase is in. And in the Hebrew, it's referred to as the perfect tense. Now, I don't think that means too much to most of us, but let me share what it means. The fact that the help you is in the perfect tense. It means completed action with present ongoing results. What does that mean? That means that God's help is always available, always with us, always ready at a moment's notice. In fact, he knows what we need even before we have to get, before we face a struggle. The help is already there. Philippians 4:13, a verse that you know well. It tells us that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now keep in mind, when it says all things, that means that the things that come up in our Christian lives. It's not a blank slate that we can do anything we want to do, but anything that God allows to come into our life, we have a promise in that verse to know that he is going to give us the strength to overcome. Whatever challenges, whatever struggles, whatever difficulties, we know that God will give us the strength to overcome. When we are so overwhelmed that we feel our legs begin to buckle, anybody feel like that today? Don't raise your hand, but just think about it. Anybody feel like, man, the struggles are just too heavy? I'm just so overwhelmed, I just don't know how I'm going to take another step. The truth is, we all feel like that on occasion. That's where this part of the verse comes into play. It says when our legs begin to buckle, you know what God will do? You know what promise we have for him in this verse? He says, I will hold you up. Isn't that good? I will hold you up. I'll strengthen your legs. I'll give you the ability to stand up no matter what the enemy tries to throw against you. We could think of it another way. God says, I will carry you. We all know the familiar poem, Footprints. You've read it, I've read it, but isn't that a fitting image for what we're talking about today? Where the man went to sleep and he had a dream and he saw the footprints along the ocean, along the shore, and he said, you know, it was wonderful because there were two sets of footprints. I knew, God, you were walking with me. But Lord, there's one thing I don't understand. There were certain areas of my life, especially the more difficult ones, where I didn't even know how I was going to survive, I noticed there was just one set of footprints at times like that. God, could you tell me what happened? And of course, the Lord in the poem that we're talking about said, it was then, my child, my precious child, it was then that I carried you. And you know what? We have that promise from God. God will literally carry us. He'll uphold us. He'll strengthen us. God asks us to trust him, to lean on him, and to realize that he is the one who's going to give us the strength to overcome. Write this verse down. Give it a look later on. It's Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. 121, 1 and 2. It says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Carried in loving arms, letter B, confidence in his every promise. We can have confidence in his every promise. God promises, and if you look at the way verse 10 ends, it says, yes, I will uphold you, but look at the way it continues. It says, with my righteous right hand. God promises to reach out. Let's first tackle the first part. He promises to reach out his right hand to help us in our time of need. You know what the right hand symbolizes? It symbolizes strength and power and greatness. How many of you need to be told today that we serve an amazing God, an all-powerful God, a God that can tackle and give us victory no matter what we struggle with? We serve a God that is more than able. Not only that, we serve a God that's available. He's always on duty. He's always with us. Many times problems seem so big They seem like they're immovable. Sometimes we have a term for problems, and you know what we call them? We call them mountains. We call them mountains because we don't know how in the world we're going to overcome some of the struggles that we face. And the truth is, the enemy wants us. You know how he wants us to respond? I'm talking about the enemy. When a problem comes in our life, you know what he wants your pastor to get all? And what he wants you to get all about? He wants us to be frantic. He wants us to be fearful. He wants us to be overwhelmed and panicky. That's what the enemy wants. But church, do you remember he's called the father of lies? Here's a little acronym that somebody gave me earlier to look at. And here's what it says. It's an acronym for the word fear. Here's what it says. False evidence appearing real. You know what most of the problems are that we see around us? Most of the things that we spend our time thinking about and getting all upset about, they are false evidence that appears to be real. You know who the enemy, you know who's throwing that at us, don't you? It's the enemy. It's not God. It's the enemy. He wants us to be frantic, fearful, overwhelmed, and panicky. If we took this passage in context, right? It was written to the Hebrew people by the prophet Isaiah. We don't have time to get into it a lot today, but the Hebrews were in a terrible crisis. The northern kingdom had already been conquered. Remember, Israel was divided into two kingdoms then, the north and the south. The northern part was already taken captured by the Assyrians. And you know what the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, was doing? He was literally knocking at the gate of Jerusalem, throwing out threats against the people of Jerusalem, saying, you better surrender, because if you don't surrender, I'm coming in with the whole Assyrian army. And what we did to the northern kingdom was nothing compared to what we're going to do to you if you don't surrender right now. Now, if you were in Jerusalem and you had 185,000 of the Assyrian army ready to break down the gate of Jerusalem and you were inside, how would you be feeling? Probably the same way we're talking about today. But you know what God says? We're going to get to the end of the story in a few minutes. God says, trust me. God says, run to me. God says, no matter what the enemy throws against us, stand firm in our faith. You know what scripture goes on? It says, not only is he going to save us by his right arm, right, or right hand, but he also, there's a word before that in most of our Bibles. And you know what it says? With my righteous right hand, I will save you. My righteous right arm. You know what it means? It reminds us that the God that we worship isn't just all powerful, but he's also righteous and holy. If I said that God can be trusted, how many of you would say amen today? If I said that God's promises, we can rely on them, we can depend on every single one of them, how many of you would say amen? God is trustworthy. God is faithful. God keeps every single promise that he makes. You know what I do sometimes when I wake up in the middle of the night and I've got problems or I feel like the enemy is ready to come against me? By the way, anybody been there before? It doesn't feel good, does it? You just feel overwhelmed and you just, so much anxiety starts to build up inside. You know what I do? I remember the promises of God. And I start thinking in my head and quoting Psalm 23 or the Lord's Prayer, right? And I remind myself of all the promises that I have in Scripture. Sometimes I'll even get up and start reading some of the Psalms. And you know what happens? All of a sudden, I've taken my focus off of the enemy and his attacking and trying to bring me fear, and I'm reassured by all the promises of God. You know what? That's the way God wants us to handle it. He wants us to run to him. He doesn't want us to be fearful or afraid, right? He wants us to run to him and receive the help that we need in our time of need. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. You know what? If you're facing fear or anxiety today, it's the enemy trying to attack you. And God doesn't want that for you. Now, I'm not making little of something that can be very serious in people's life, and sometimes there's issues that you need to see somebody and get some professional help along the way because it's a real problem and it can be a real situation. But for the most part, if we run to God and we find those promises that we can lean on and cling to, God will give us the deliverance that we need. God is there. We can cling to every single promise that He makes. Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Jot this one down, Psalm 27, 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I'll tell you what, that's a good verse, isn't it? Next time you're starting to feel afraid, cling to that verse. Throw it in the enemy's face and just watch him run away and scramble. He's all-powerful. He's always with us. So the question is, why are we afraid? If He's all-powerful, if God is with us, why are we afraid? Remember, we're never alone. Rely on the strength He provides. One more section for you today. Remain under His mighty wings. Remain under His mighty wings. Move forward about two chapters. If you're in Isaiah, turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, let's look at the first two verses. We're going to focus primarily on verse 2, but let me read verse 1 as well. Here's what God continues to say to His people through the prophet Isaiah. "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, He says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine." Now look at verse 2. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not overcome you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze." Number 3 on your outlines, remain under His mighty wing. Look at letter A. Trials will not overwhelm the children of God. Trials will not overwhelm us. It's a reminder to us that we are part of the family of God. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've asked Him to forgive you and come into your life, then guess what? We're brothers and sisters, aren't we? Because we're part of the same family. We have the same Heavenly Father, and we are called part of His family by faith. The Bible tells us in verse 1 that He delivered us and He called us by name. Does God know your name today? Are you part of His family? Amen. Me too. Me too. He goes on to say in verse 2, "I will protect you." And the first thing He's going to protect the people from, keep in mind, He's talking to the Hebrew people, but He's talking in a greater sense to every person that knows God. He says, "I'll protect you through the waters." Now, if you were a Hebrew and you had the promise from God that "I will protect you through the waters," what image might come to your mind? The Red Sea. Amen. Amen. We got some Bible scholars with us today. The Red Sea. That's probably the picture that they got in their mind too. Because you know what? They were in a terrible situation, weren't they? They had the Egyptian army led by Pharaoh chasing them down, and they had a border in front of them that they thought they were dead. And you know what? Moses did too for a little bit until God told Moses to hold out his staff. And what happened to that Red Sea? It parted. It parted, and we know they went across on dry ground. They received deliverance from bondage and slavery that day. Not only that, but also the destruction of their enemy. The Egyptians died that day. The same water that parted for them was the same water that God chose to wipe out the enemies of God's people. Deliverance came through the Red Sea. Now it goes on, not only is God going to protect us through the waters, but the second part of verse 2, it says He'll also be with us through the rivers of difficulty. It says literally in that verse, "When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you." like the river sweeping over the person or us. It says that literally through the rivers of difficulty, you know what God's telling us? We won't drown. We won't drown. If we run to God, we'll receive a life preserver so that we can stay afloat. Maybe some of you today are feeling a little bit overwhelmed. Maybe you feel like the waves are crashing against you and you're about ready to go under. You know what God would say to us? He'd say, run to me. Run to me, and I'll make sure that the rivers don't overwhelm you, don't come over you, and you don't drown in your faith. Here's another quote. Fear has a large shadow, but he himself is small. Fear has a large shadow, but he himself is small. God wants us to run to him, and we have a great promise here that we'll be safe as we walk through the waters. We'll be safe as the rivers start to rise around us and get turbulent. We'll be safe because God will not allow them to overwhelm us. So trials will not overwhelm us. Look at letter B. We'll close with this. Testing will only make us stronger. Testing will only make us stronger. The way verse 2 ends, it says, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. We think of fiery trials and painful troubles that we face. Some of them are physical. Some of them are emotional. But you know what? They're just as real, aren't they? And they can certainly be considered fiery trials, struggles that we have to endure. Now, if you were a Hebrew, once again, and you were thinking of a fiery trial, what story comes to your mind in the book of Daniel? Perhaps the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I was going to say the three Hebrew boys, friends of Daniel. And you remember the leader, I think Nebuchadnezzar, got so upset at them because they refused to worship his pagan idol. And he threatened them. He said, if you don't bow down and worship this giant golden statue, I think that was 90 feet tall, he said, we're going to throw you into the fiery furnace. I love the way Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego responded. They said, if you throw us into that fiery furnace, the first thing we want you to know, Nebuchadnezzar, God is able to save us. He's strong enough to save us. But they said, if he does, then that's good. We're going to praise him. But even if God doesn't choose to rescue us from the fire, we're still going to praise God. And we're not going to bow a knee to this false idol on the plains. Well, you know the story. He got really upset and he heated up that fire 7 times hotter than it ordinarily was. And he threw the three boys in the fire, and what happened? They were fine. In fact, they came out, and I love what Scripture says. They didn't even smell like smoke. I can't sit around a campfire without smelling like smoke. But these three were in the fiery furnace, and they didn't even smell like smoke. But did you catch what the boys told Nebuchadnezzar? First of all, they said, God is able. God can deliver us if he chooses to. But here's where the faith came in. Even if God chooses not to deliver us, that's okay with us. I'm still going to worship him, and I'm still going to praise him, and I'm still not going to bend the knee to this false idol. You know what, Christian? That's faith. That's the faith that will overcome fear. You know what? We face real struggles in today's world, don't we? And I'm not saying that there aren't plenty of things that we can be afraid of if we choose to. But how many of you know today that God is able? God is able. God is on the throne. God is in charge, and we are his children. If God chooses to protect us and to rescue us from anything that comes against us, then you know what? I'm going to choose to praise him. If he chooses not to rescue me in any particular situation like COVID-19 or anything else, if he says, no, Bob, I'm going to call you home to be with me, you know what, church? That's okay too. We praise him regardless. We don't have to be afraid. Faith overcomes our fears. Run to God and find out that he's more than enough to meet us in our hour of need. Jot down this one last passage, almost finished today. 2 Kings 19, 35 to 37. Remember how I told you that Sennacherib and the whole Assyrian army was about ready to conquer Jerusalem? And remember what I said about if you were inside, you'd have been terrified just like I probably would have? You know what? The prophet Isaiah came to Hezekiah and said, Hezekiah, pray to God. God is going to deliver. In fact, the enemy is not going to kill a single Israelite. In fact, they're not even going to shoot one arrow over the wall of Jerusalem. They're going to go back home the same way they came. Hezekiah prayed to God. He got on his face before God. By the way, that's what we need to do too. Got on his face before God, and in one night, the angel of the Lord killed 185,000 of the Assyrian army. Sennacherib, I would have just loved to have seen his face as he got up in the morning and he found out his whole army lay dead on the ground. He went back to Assyria, went back to Nineveh the same way he came. It didn't cause any problems for over 100 years for the southern kingdom, Jerusalem, the southern kingdom of the people of God. God is able, isn't he? God doesn't have a weak arm. God has a strong arm, and God knows what he's doing. In trouble, when we're afraid, we're supposed to ask God for help, and then we're supposed to trust him with the results. How many of you know today that God can heal? Amen? God can heal. How many of you know God can comfort? God can comfort. He can provide, and he can give us the strength we need to stand firm. We can stand firm in faith and never let fear rule a single moment in our lives. We don't have to be ruled by fear. We serve the chain breaker. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to be ruled by fear. Come close to God and find the answer for your prayers. Three things as we close and have a time of invitation today. First of all, do you believe? Do you believe? Without faith, we have a reason to be afraid. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then there is a real reason to be afraid. But if you know Jesus, if you have a relationship with God, if you're part of his family and have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, then you don't have a single thing to be afraid of. There's no reason to fear anything. The question that only you can ask, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have your sins been forgiven? Do you have a relationship with God when you leave this world? Do you know beyond a shadow of doubt that you get to go home and be in Beulah land? Spend eternity with a God that loves you and a God that's with you. Do you believe today? If you don't, you can become a believer today by asking Jesus into your life to be your Lord and Savior. Number two, keep our focus on the Lord. There are a lot of Christians that are panicking today. Did you hear what I said? There's a lot of Christians that are panicking today. Why? Because we've taken our eyes off of God and we started to be overwhelmed by all the things around us. You know what we need to do, Christian? We need to put our faith back on God and say, no matter what happens, I know God's on the throne.